be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Hey everybody, what's up? It's a Comedy Film Nerd spoiler episode number 43.
It's pretty exciting. We got a new guest to
new
do the
guest,
spoiler episode too.
New guest, new movie to spoil.
What are the rules on the spoiler episode,
Graham? I'm glad you asked me, Chris. Spoiler app, if you haven't ever listened to one before, ladies and gentlemen, we will talk about every aspect of this movie, including the ending. So
we usually start with it.
We usually start with the ending. So if you haven't seen the movie, hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back. So we're going to get it. Today we're talking about Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And our guest is a comic that I've done a couple shows with. The first time I met you, well, let me introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany Haddish.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm here. Now he can talk about me in my face.
I first met you 2 years ago. I did the Ice House Chronicles show. And we are doing the Earbuds, the podcasting documentary. So we were interviewing everybody, Red Band, Joe Rogan, and you were there, and we interviewed you. And I think everyone was a little high.
Yeah, I even got, most definitely. Did I queef? I queef when I'm high. Sorry.
No, I don't think we got that on
okay,
camera.
Okay, good.
We ADR'd it.
Yeah, we don't want to lose that. That's gold. That'll help us sell a lot of downloads. So, because it was funny because the crew, we had been shooting, that was like our first week of shooting. Mm-hmm. And the crew was, I don't smoke weed or drink, but the crew was laughing because they saw me start to get a contact high. And I remember interviewing you. And you were talking about Tom Likas or something. You were just rambling.
I remember that footage.
It was fucking hilarious. Yeah. Didn't make it in the final cut.
Oh,
thank you so
much. Cool, thanks. Thanks. I got edited. I'm on the floor.
Now, I had a question. When you guys did the Ice House Chronicles, did Tiffany have her own perfume then?
Oh, no. Wow, Chris. What a peculiar question you would ask. Because Tiffany Haddish now has her own perfume.
And called Success. She ready. She is ready for success. Yes. Basically, I took all the old perfumes that I had on my sink. You know how girls are. We keep like perfume bottles and it'd be just a little bit. So I mixed them all together and was like, oh, I like this scent. And then I went online to try to see if I could find like a chemist or somebody to make this for me. And then I found this thing called scentmatchers.com. And
why wouldn't that be on the internet?
Yeah. The internet is amazing. It is an amazing place. I thought when you first came and started talking with Tiffany.
Oh, she's doing a bit. Yeah, yeah. There's no way this is real.
No, this is real.
No, this is real.
They made the bottle.
They put
a label on it for me and everything. Yeah, and I just said, I like the way this smells, this smells, this smells, and this smells. And then they put it all together, and they made my scent. Success.
So now do you sell this after shows?
I haven't started. This is the first one. This is a prototype.
This is the prototype bottle?
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to. Nobody said I smelled good when I walked in, but that's cool because it's probably mixed with the hint of Newport. But
that's what I was smelling. I was like, well, those are some tasty Newports. Those Newports smell like success.
But so this is prototype success in a bottle?
Yes, prototype success in a bottle. My friends were saying I should do, because I'm also known as the last black unicorn. So they were saying that I should make it like, because I'm the last black unicorn. I'm a magical creature, sir. I am magical.
Sir. Thank you for keeping this formal.
Point of order, sir.
Point of order, Ms. Haddish.
I am a magical creature.
You will
give me the proper respect.
That part.
Due to all mythical creatures.
Yes.
And or legends.
Right. Because, see, a unicorn is a beautiful creature.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
It's very friendly.
And can only be tamed by a virgin.
Right. And or a rich man.
Oh, well, I am neither. This is a problem.
And a unicorn will let you touch it and be kind to you if you kind to it. But if you do something messed up to the unicorn, it will stab you in the heart with its horn. And that's me. That's me.
So, well, as you said in this
Are you going to have a unicorn scent?
Well, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about doing one for a unisex one called The Last Black Unicorn. Success. Then do one that's called We Ready, for which is also a unisex male. And then do a He Ready, which is a man musk cologne. And that'll be when I get me a boyfriend, I'm going to steal all his colognes off his counter and or dresser and mix all those together.
And go to scentmatcher.com.
Yeah. Go to scentmatcher.com and make a lovely man musk.
Yeah. Well, since, you know what's weird? That makes perfect sense to me.
Well, no. Here's what I'm getting at, Chris. We're in a garage full of merchandise. I want to sell Success She Ready. I want to get this unicorn musk.
Will you sign the bottles?
Yeah. Yes, I will sign bottles. Maybe I'll queef inside each one. So there's a hint of the breath of God in there, because that's what a queef is, the breath of God.
The breath of God.
Yes.
Oh, well, this is exciting.
Fair enough.
We've never done a perfume pitch at the top of a spoiler ep.
Nope.
We got to start.
But what's weird, I feel like it won't be the last.
Yeah. No, it's just, this room smells amazing. Yeah. Finally, with this room smells like success.
Yeah.
I mean,
make sure she doesn't leave with that bottle.
If you knew you had a business meeting or you knew something, you were going to go do something big and challenging for the day, wouldn't you want to just have a spritz of success before you go out?
Of course.
You know, I like to have a drink of success every morning. I make me a glass of green tea and I have a cup that says success. On it, and it's at that point a cup of success, and I drink my cup of success before I go to work, and then I have a fantastic day.
That's outstanding.
And when I don't have my success, it's a fucked up day. Sorry for cursing, but it's the truth.
You can swear. It's all right.
Okay. It's the internet.
So now
I also have a lotion.
Oh my gosh. I didn't
Success.
Know we were having
she
some
ready.
Sort of an Amway type, yeah, this is type scenario.
Do you have Tupperware in there too?
I also have condoms. Yeah. She Ready condoms that I poke holes in because she ready to get pregnant. Has my face on it, and right where my mole is at, I poke a little pinhole in it. Sell those 3 for $5 at the end of every comedy show. And I say, be safe, girl. And if you're not, name it after me.
Oh my God. That you're gonna sell a shit ton of merch after your show.
There's
Tiffany.
No question.
You gotta get on the road and start moving some units. You
that
know what
part,
I'm saying?
Yes.
You have no competition. No one's selling perfumes and lotions after shows.
That part, nor condoms with holes in them.
No one is selling that. So now you are, you're doing a sitcom. You're on the Carmichaels,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Carmichael show. Yes.
How's that going?
It's going great. Ratings are pretty darn good.
Because
it just came
out?
It just premiered like a week and a half ago, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and it was good. 6 million views.
Oh, great.
And, they said it was the number one rated comedy in 12 years on a Sunday in the history of NBC.
Oh, that's
in the last
great.
12 years. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
And how did you get it? You said you had an interest. Oh, I said, did you audition for this? And you're like, let me tell you when we start.
So how I got that job was I was already working on a series with Tyler Perry called If Loving You Was Wrong, and I was kind of hemmed up in that. And I really wanted to audition for that show because my friend Little Rel was doing it. And he was telling me about it. I was like, man, I want to get on that show. And he was like, Tiff, I don't know why they ain't called you in. So I asked my agent. They're like, yeah, we tried, but they're not doing it. I don't know why they're not having you in. So then I run into Gerard at the movie theater, at the Chinese movie theater at this place called Inside Jokes. They have a comedy show mm-hmm. there every
yeah,
week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I run into him there and I walk up to him and I say, Gerard, I'm so proud of you. You know, great job on your special and congratulations on the pilot and good job hiring Little Rel. That's my friend. Like, that's like my brother. So good looking out right there. And he's like, oh, thanks, thanks. And I was like, yeah, but it's real disrespectful how you didn't ask me to come in and audition or nothing. I find that really messed up. I mean, come on, man. You tell me you like my comedy. You tell me you respect my talent. And all that, and you don't even let me come in and audition for you. That's messed up. But if you need any help with anything, you let me know. Okay? I am here to be of service. All right? Just think of me as a servant. I'm here. I'll help you run lines, a PA, stand in, whatever, because I'm unemployed right now till we go back next summer. So you let me know. And he was like, okay. So then 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. The girl that they did hire for the part was doing a play. Okay. So I get a phone call and they ask me if I would come in and just do the table read because she wasn't available to do the table read for the network. So I go in and do the table read. I walk in there like, you know, just do my little job and leave. And then they say, hey, great job on the table read. Do you think you can come in and help us rehearse? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. That's like, yeah, till she gets back. Not a problem. So I help them rehearse for like 3 days in a row. I'm rehearsing with Loretta Devine, David Allen Greer. I'm working with Gerard Carmichael, my homeboy Little Rahari, and Amber West Stevens from Greek. Like, I'm like, this is a dream come true, and I'm not getting paid. I didn't ask for any money or anything. I was just being of service, right? So then the girl comes back, and I had to audition for the Craig Robinson show, which was being filmed right across the way. Mm-hmm. And it was for the role that Megan Goods played in the show, right? So I'm dressed up to the nines. I got my Spanx on, got my little dress on, got the little 4-inch heels, got my hair done, makeup like, wop, I'm beat, right? She ready, okay, for success. Got 4 different perfumes on. I'm killing it. So I go over there, audition. I think I do a good job. And then I'm like, well, let me go run over and see how Rail doing and let them see me all cute, right? So I run over to the stage and they're like, oh my God, Tiffany, it's so good to see you. Oh, you look amazing. Oh, like, right? And so then I'm like, okay, thank guys, bye. And I leave. An hour later, I get a phone call asking me if I want the job. And I'm like, thank you.
Wow.
And it's so funny because a girl came up to me and I've worked with her before and we was doing a sketch show for CBS and every time the writers would write a sketch for her and they'd be like, well, let's see Tiffany do it. And then I would do it, would give it to me, give me the sketch, right? So so then she comes up to me, she's like, thank you so much for, you know, standing in for me. Right, this is before I get the phone call, right? Thank you for standing in for me. I really appreciate you doing that for me. Thanks for the support, but I got this. And I was like, okay, I'm not here to take nothing. Bye. And then I get a phone call. They just give it to me. And that's called being prepared.
Turns out she didn't got this.
She didn't. She wasn't ready.
She should have done a little spritz of success.
Yeah, she should have had a spritz of success. But now she's doing good now, though. She's on the show on BET, but I'm on NBC.
But who's counting?
Well, nobody's counting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes.
So we talked about this on a regular episode.
We definitely split a little bit. Now, also, I saw some of the emails. People more sided with you. They didn't mind the uneven tone.
I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be the outlier on this episode,
okay,
for sure.
All right, you're the outlier. Yeah. So, Tiffany, you liked it. Tell us.
I loved it.
Tell us why.
I loved it because not only was it funny, but also it had that drama in it and the reality of what's going on out there. And I liked, my favorite part was that when they were saying that she's like a New York 4, but a Gaza 10. Afghanistan 10. I thought that was so dope because I'm like, ooh, well, then I'll probably be a 20 out there. You know? Like, I need to go visit that place. But I love, also, I feel like, I don't know if they used real troops or not, but I feel like it was real Marines in there. I feel like they were real. And if they weren't, they're really great actors.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing I liked about it, too, and is you know, having done a bunch of comedy tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, that was the thing that it did feel real enough to me, even though it is kind of a comedy, but it's like you say, Tiffany, it had more drama in it than comedy, I think.
Right.
And this part of the problem I think the movie had was it was fighting against itself because the trailer made it seem like it was a straight comedy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's really serious stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for instance, when, her boyfriend, she starts dating the Scottish
Martin
dude.
Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman.
Yeah,
when he goes,
great.
When he's great. And it's great to see him in this type of a role because he's always been, you know, the Hobbit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when he goes,
Watson,
when
he, Sherlock, who was, yeah. He was actually a vet.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
He gets abducted, right?
Yeah.
So that's no joke. And that has happened, you know, that, you know, journalists have been abducted.
Absolutely.
Over
and
there.
Killed.
And that was to see her work that, and she's like, okay, no joke, I'm going to go get this dude. And she
was a hero.
Oh my God. It was such a great, she goes into Alfred Molina's office. I love that scene. So Alfred Molina throughout the whole movie is hitting on her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this Afghanistan official and she goes in there and she's like, all right.
Or you could say an Afghan sketch character.
Right.
He was so good though. It was so good.
I loved Alfred Molina.
Yeah,
I know you didn't find
it. I didn't buy it.
You
no,
didn't buy
I
it.
Didn't.
It worked for me.
Okay.
You've obviously never dated a Middle Eastern dude because they act like that. they act just like that.
Guilty as charged.
Well, there you go, dude. Maybe you should date more Middle Eastern guys.
That part.
Because that was the thing. She goes into the office, and I thought this was such a cool scene. So he's been hitting on her the whole movie, and he's like has a bedroom in his office, and that is sort of true. I mean, especially in Afghanistan, women are so not even close to equal footing.
Right,
it's unbelievable. So she goes into his office and is like, I want to, you know, I need some help from you to get my friend out. And he's like, well, all right. And they shot it really well. She stands up and he's like, and she starts unbuttoning and you're like, no way. She's going to sleep with this cat just to help her boyfriend. That's amazing. Pulls out the footage of him. She goes, that's you dancing.
At a party.
At a party with Westerners and alcohol. Like, you're done.
Right.
Like, the Taliban, the hardliners will throw you the fuck out. And that's how she gets him. It was those kind of scenes that were sort of, to me, typified what I liked about the movie, in the sense that it was kind of funny, but also kind of for real. And when she started unbuttoning her coat, I was like, oh, God.
I love the relationship between her and her tour guide or her guide or whatever. Mm-hmm. That relationship. What was his name?
Oh, the big buff dude?
Yeah, the big buff dude. I love that relationship where he was like, you could tell he cared about her, but he couldn't touch her. Or like she wanted to hug him, but they couldn't hug. And they like, the Afghan guy, who's actually Hispanic, right?
Let me find his name.
He was such a good actor. Like, he was so good. He was conveying so much emotion with barely any words.
Christopher Abbott.
Yes.
That's a great scene you're talking about.
Yes.
Where she does something stupid and gets out, and there's like some protest. She's like, oh, I gotta get the footage, and all these men see her. She's in a burqa.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, it almost gets ugly.
Yes. Yeah, I thought she was gonna get beat, like stoned to death.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I did like is that it did show how you can get addicted to the adrenaline, whether you're a soldier or a reporter. The end result is the same. And that kind of happened towards the middle and end of the film. Mm-hmm. But you also saw where some people get addicted to it and they don't care. They just, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care. I need this. That bad. Well, it leads into PTSD. Like what you were saying too.
They talk about it in the movie. They refer to Kabul as the kabubble.
Right.
Cause you're in this sort of bubble and there's that scene. And this is why I love the spoiler ups. Cause we couldn't really talk about this in the regular ups. So when Margot Robbie goes out to get this story and there's a fucking rocket attack and she's blown up and she's in the hospital, and Tina Fey says, she realizes how fucked up, and she goes, I'm jealous that my friend almost died. She goes, that's fucked up. I shouldn't be thinking that way. And Margot Robbie's character does whatever she has to do to get the story when they both are back in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like, wow. It summed up how insane the whole scenario is, how it is such an adrenaline, an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's reminding me of when I went over there in 2006 and I was with Shayma Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
walking. Oh, I love Shayma.
She's a nut. She's crazy. But you like all the comics I know that went over there are almost like all comics are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that went over there were even a little crazier. They kept going back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it was part of that addiction to
The adrenaline
and the crazy shit. And like, I remember one time, so Shayma and I were walking around Bagram, the main base there. And, you know, she's just in jeans and a t-shirt. But that's the most skin and they have locals on the base working.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most female skin these cats have seen. And like, here's a Western woman, hair pulled back, a little bit, not a lot of makeup, but more than what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she looks like a stripper to them, you know? And they're like, well, let's take a photo. And like, oh, we take a photo and it's cute. And I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, there were 20 guys. And I'm like, and this is 06. So this is before you had a phone on your phone. You had a camera on your phone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, finally get the camera ready. And she's like, Graham. And then some guy, like, they grabbed her ass. They like, and it got, and we're on a fucking American military base. And it got that crazy that quickly. And she was like, and I'm like, all right, we're out of here. And then she was like, God damn it. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. She goes, man, this guy grabbed my ass and all this shit. Cause they, couldn't, it shows you the culture. It's why, like, kind of what Tiffany just said about Ephraim Molina's character, it wasn't that outlandish because that's the Afghanistan society is crazy behind.
Yeah, you're way behind. You're not allowed to touch another woman that's not your wife and or sister or mother. So they are out there porn galore, okay? They on them phones like the technology ruined them.
There was that one guy who was working for the reporters who's in there just watching porn and
donkey porn that. Like,
well, here's the thing too.
And that's a comic that was in, that was a comedian. Really? That's Fahim. Fahim Noir, I think his last name is. Fahim.
So Christopher Abbott plays
the character named Fahim.
Yeah, plays the character named Fahim.
And then the guy that...
Fahim Anwar played that guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fahim Anwar is the comic.
And he was great. And he ends up getting blowed up and killed because he's trying to... He was snitching, basically, like, telling everybody. Like, I was like, dang, that's some gangbanger shit that's happening in the Middle East. Like, oh, my homies can get you the 911 on what's going on and tell you everything that whoop, whoop. Like, what you want to know? I get my homies to come out. Then you get the homies to come out. They see the cameras and stuff. And they like, we finna fucking shoot y'all up. We finna kidnap these motherfuckers and shoot everybody up. And then they got bombed by a damn drone.
I know. It was the most, and it shows the whole fucked up scenario of the situation. He's working with the reporters, the Fahim, his character's name is Jawid.
So, Actor Fahim.
Actor Fahim, Jawid.
This is a hard name to get straight. But he, in the film, that was really cool, and it showed how, and I remember talking to soldiers who were like, they have what they call a TERP, an interpreter, and they're like, I don't know if this cat is working for us or
if they're interpreting properly.
And he could be saying anything to you. He could be saying, look, when you guys leave, I'll give you 10 grand and then you can blow the Americans up, and then turns the Americans and says, yeah, he's cool. He's going to give us the information.
Right.
Like, and that, what that scenario showed, that Tiffany was just talking about. So he's like, because they're like, we got to get into this province. That's the thing. Because the stories dried up because everything was talking about Iraq and who gives a shit about Afghanistan. So like, we got to go because part
we
of
gotta
it
get deeper in there.
We got to get deeper in there because part of it is not just the adrenaline rush, but that's their job. Your stories aren't getting bought or in trouble.
That's what I found really fascinating too, and it goes back to the movie Network where it's. It's a business. News is a business, and it's all about ratings. So now, oh well, if no one cares about Afghanistan stories, then we won't show them anymore. We'll just we'll do fluff pieces or whatever. And that's what happened. It's like, well, no one cares about Afghanistan. Well, maybe because you're not covering it properly.
Right.
Maybe if you presented it like an actual news organization, people would care a little more. Oh, people are tired of it. Really?
Right.
Yeah. So
America's longest running war.
Yeah. So you.
We're still there.
Yeah. People are tired of it, but that's an excuse not to cover it anymore. And it just goes back to the big issue that, you know, Network was so ahead of its time.
Right.
Where, you know, it's all corporate media. It's all about ratings and it's all about
reality TV.
Yeah, reality TV. I mean, you know, Donald Trump is the logical, you know, apex of that. Is now, you know, it's not news. It's a carnival show.
Right.
And the
future president might be a reality TV star.
So are we covering any of the other candidates? No, you cover the craziest one because he's so entertaining
kids it's okay to be outrageous. It's okay to say whatever the hell pops into your mind first because you're going to get rewarded for it.
Yeah, no,
you're going to get rewarded for it.
And
you can be friends with the KKK and still run a country full of everything.
Right.
Sure, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Matter. Yeah.
Like that's such a great example. Like the classy, nope, step the fuck back, look who, I mean, like, Duck Dynasty is a TV show.
Not anymore.
Oh, thank God.
but
I mean, like, that whole environment.
Now, can you imagine, too, if you're a reporter and you've put your life on the line in a war zone, Afghanistan, Iraq, anywhere, and then your boss is telling you, yeah, no one cares, no one's really interested anymore, it's not getting ratings, it basically what you're doing doesn't matter.
Right.
And that has to be horrible to hear because you're doing important work. There's no more important things than covering actual news at a news channel, you would think, but turns out not as much the case.
That was some of the things that I really liked about the movie is you saw the politics within the network that, that she had to, and everyone had to navigate.
Right.
And then you saw the the thing that, like, the relationship. I really like the relationship with Martin Freeman because it's like, is this a real one? Or is this just, we're in a crazy war situation and we're hooking up?
Right.
Like, and then the end where she goes back and she's now like a reporter on the, you know, the nightly news or whatever. And he's in town on his book tour because, of course, he turns it into a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually like, when she left Afghanistan, it looked like he was addicted and was never going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Even getting kidnapped, almost killed, didn't matter. This is, to him, that was the new reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see him actually, no, he did eventually get out and write a book about it. And
make it sound like jail.
Yeah.
He finally got up. He's addicted to them sales.
So, and then it kind of left on like a, almost like an ambiguous note. Well, like, well, did they get together afterwards or did they continue the relationship or was it, that was that part of our life and now it's over. And
to me, how I took the ending,
because,
He they do this very cool behind the scenes. So he's on a live feed, but they're on a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, I'm going to be in town in New York. And, you know, I'd love to, maybe we catch a coffee. And she's like, oh, okay. I saw her like kind of light up like, oh shit. Maybe we can.
Part two. She got moist a little bit. That's what I saw. She got a little wet right there. Yeah. They're going to do it when he gets in town.
And is it going to just be a.
She's going to be reaching for the perfume and lotion.
Mm-hmm. Give me that success. He gonna eat this.
so is like, that's how I took it. Like, I and maybe this is me like being a hopeless romantic. I was like, what I saw in her was like, maybe when they meet in New York, they're gonna hook up, but also have the, hey, let's try to make this work now. We're both out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. I'm sleepless in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's like, hilarious.
Because if he's just a writer now, I mean, he's just selling books.
Maybe.
Why not live in New York or D.C. or wherever she's.
Right.
Or maybe she ends up hooking up with Billy Bob Thornton later on when he come back from the war. Because I loved that character a lot because he was telling her all the business. And he was so nasty, but so professional with it. And he was, and he helped her. Like, she had to at least give him a hand job for that or something.
That was the thing that I liked, and I'll give him credit. He did a pretty good job.
He did a damn good job.
Of, like, I believed, I've met a lot of Marines.
Right.
And Marine officers.
Yeah.
And he was like one of them.
Yes, he was.
I have to say, for me, and
I've dated a lot.
I haven't been over there. And I haven't dated any.
But you gotta get out there. You gotta date some Middle Eastern guys, Marines.
I found him to be the most believable and entertaining character. Billy Bob Thornton.
He was my favorite character. And then I like when they went to the village and the well was blown up. Like the second time, he's like, "We're not gonna repair it this time." And those women lured her in there. Like, first off, anybody covered up from head to toe trying to get me to come in somewhere, I'm not going. I was like, "Don't go in there." I was like a typical black girl in the movies. Like, "What are you doing? Them bitches finna whoop your ass. Don't do it. They about to stone you, bitch. Don't do it." And they went in there and they unveiled themselves. And I wish they would have turned the camera around because I know all them heifers had on Chanel. Gucci, they had the MAC makeup on, the fake titties, all of that, because they be killing it under them burkas. I'm telling you, because they be, my friend, her dad is from there, right, and he smuggles, he has like a black market of makeup like designer clothing and all that stuff, and those women buy it, they have money, and they wear it to show off to each other. It's like, really, like in America, how we dress, like we say we dressing for our man, but really, we dressing to make the next bitch jealous, and that's what they doing over there, okay, they just cover it up so the men don't see. And they'd be like, yes, bitch, why? They come out the thing. And so they was telling her, like, we want that well because that's what we get to show off. You know, we get, want that thing to be blowed up because we want to walk to the river.
Well, that was so cool because that's another thing. And I've heard of those types of stories, not that specific one, but those types of things. It's like you come in and you're like, America, let's make it better. And it's like, well, no. Walking, that's how the women got to socialize.
Right.
That's how they got
to. It was part of the culture.
It's part of the culture. It's how they interact. And we come in with an American
mindset.
Whether it's a conservative or a liberal mindset, it's American and we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some women say, I mean, some women, definitely many Afghanistan women are like, I hate the burqa. It's awful. It's oppressive. Some women, not many, but some. We're like, actually, I liked the anonymity of it because I can wear, like you say, whatever the hell I want underneath it. And I am a
could wear a Batman costume. Mm-hmm. Wear
I would look. You know, Janet Jackson's been walking around in a burqa and stuff. Did you know that?
No.
She's married to this prince and stuff, right? Just like the prince of Dubai or something like that. She's married to some rich Middle Eastern dude. She married to right billionaire. Okay, and she has to wear like the burqa and all that stuff, and she likes it because I don't have to put on a whole bunch of makeup. Yeah. I can be fat if I want to. I can be whatever I want to be under this thing, where I can walk around here in a 2-piece bikini with my muffin top hanging over it, and nobody gonna say nothing because they can't see it.
Yeah.
Also, like you said, it's eminent. Like she's Janet Jackson, famous all over the world. Like she can't just go wherever she wants to, but she got that burqa on. She can be in Big Lots shopping like it ain't nobody business. You know what I'm saying? And nobody's gonna say anything.
I want to know that Janet Jackson is going to Big Lots
in a burqa,
and buying couches and shit.
Yeah,
she's
buying great.
Just like big thing of M&M's.
Yeah, she goes in. How much for the whole lot?
Yeah. I want to buy the store.
Yeah,
just have the prince show up and just put this on the back of the truck.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. But that was a cool. That was such another good example of why I like this movie, because. Mm-hmm. So they keep going back to this. They built this well, and it keeps getting blown up. And then, as you say, the village women bring her in, and they talk. And she then pulls Billy Bob Thornton aside, and like tells him, and he goes, "Good, I figured it." You know, like I forget what he said, but he's like, "Yeah, because
or like they'll get their wish. We're not
not doing it anymore." Yeah, like because that was like the third time they blew it up.
Yeah,
and that's part of the other thing too. If you notice this. When they go there, Billy Bob Thornton starts taking off his shoes because he's got to go in the tent with the elders.
Right.
And that I've heard so many guys tell me, like, man, we got to deal with the elders. I remember this one guy, the first time I was in Afghanistan in 2004, and he was an artillery guy, and he was like, he goes, and all the news stories were starting to be towards Iraq. But he said, I'm meeting with village elders who are walking around saying, I'm glad the Americans are here because we couldn't do this at night before when the Taliban was in power. But they all told me all of the protocol and you want to talk about a great burqa story. Trish Sir was over there. She's a stand-up comic who's been over there a bunch. And she wanted to go, you know, Trish is like, I want to do, she's from Kentucky. Like, let's get on. Let's get like, she's fucking
she's crazy.
So goddamn ballsy. She's told me, she was like, you know, made friends. And of course, that's the other thing. When you're a female comic over there, sure, whatever you want. If I'm like, hey, can I? They're like, well, maybe. But she goes, wanted to go on one of these where she went and talked to, was sitting in with the soldiers, talking to the head guys or whatever. And she like moved or something her leg. She was like sitting in the back and moved her leg and a little bit of her ankle started to show and this guy flipped the fuck out.
Really?
Oh yeah. She was in a full burqa because that she had to wear one.
But she wasn't sitting properly and her ankle came out?
And like she had shorts on underneath, so her exposed ankle. And the guy flipped out like, because
he got hard.
Yeah. And was like, oh, it would be like if you whipped your dick out at a business meeting. You know what I mean? Which I've done, and sometimes it makes the deal go through. But that's how they react, and she told me that story. And so that's what I was thinking when you go into that village scene. And then the way Billy Bob Thornton, he's like, nice job. But of course, he says it as a Marine. He's not all cuddly about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love it when she's like, what about your soldiers? They're not soldiers. They're Marines. Like, the Marines are very hardcore about it. They think they're the badasses.
Right.
And everyone else is a bunch of pussies. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they think.
Doesn't every branch of the military think that?
The Air Force.
They're nicer.
They're nicer. Mm-hmm. The Air Force, they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the Marines, the Army kind of thinks that. Certain branches of the Army, you know, or like,
and the Navy thinks that too. And I'm like, you paint boats all day. Well, you paint and you shoot guns from a long, long, long ways away. And you clean airplanes.
Well, that's the Marines. They're always like, well, the Navy's great. They get, when we got to go fight a war, they give us a ride.
Yeah.
That's their attitude.
Yeah. They're the transpo.
Yeah, transpo. So that was really cool. That's the thing I did really like about this film was how they depicted all of that. What else? Anybody else got anything? Any specific scene you want to bring up?
When they were touching hands on the suitcase. Oh, that was so dope. Because, you know, he's not allowed to touch. Fahim, the character wasn't allowed to, like, she was leaving. She was saying goodbye forever. And he, you know, he came back when he told her he wasn't going to deal with her no more. He came back after 2 years. He got two kids and all this stuff. And then you could tell she wanted to hug him real bad. And she even said, this is right here is in my culture, we would be hugging right now. And he's like handing her suitcase. And then her hand touched his hand a little bit. And then he pulled his hand away. I almost cried. I was like, that's sexy right there. He could have got the business right there.
Well, that's a great example, because when I was watching that scene, I was like, if she hugs him, I'm gonna be like, this is bullshit. This would never happen. And they did it the right way. Mm-hmm. And going back to the scene where she does that crazy shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where she gets out and her life was in danger, and afterwards he's like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it to her, and he tells this long sort of Middle Eastern parable, and then she goes, the American version, what are you saying? And he says, okay, you want the American version? You're crazy, you're putting lives in danger, and you're addicted to this shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that was like, that scene
you should have started with that.
Yeah. Well, he told her that, three or four things, a year before he told her that. He's like, look, I was a nurse. People would come in. They come in with a kid with their leg broke, their arm broke, and they would say they need this or whatever. We give them the medications or whatever. And it was like, you start to wonder, how did the kid really get hurt? What are they really there for? Mm-hmm. They're addicted to the drug. You know, and then that's what he was explaining to her. Like, you know, you can get addicted to this. And she's like, she doesn't even realize what he's trying to tell her. Mm. Like, slow your roll, girl, because this is dangerous.
Yeah. And he lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's not an American coming in to be a little tourist or a reporter and then leave.
Well, he grew up there.
I will say, some of the points you're making, some of the actual scenes I did like, but overall the movie just it didn't work for me, just the way the tone went.
What about the dogs fucking everywhere? Every time she horny, she look out the window, there's some dogs getting it.
That was hilarious. But that was so funny. Like, all of those, that's the thing I liked about the movie. You had these scenes, like the scene where he's telling her about the people coming when he was a nurse and they were addicted to the drugs, and he was like, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just see the absurdity because of two dogs fucking. You would just see this crazy shit because that's what the whole experience. I remember.
Was it always the same two dogs? I don't remember.
It seemed like it was. Yeah. It's like they was in a long time relationship.
Yeah.
And then an Australian dude who wasn't really Australian.
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was the Australian guy was her security detail.
He was actually Canadian.
And that was hilarious.
And he had a glass jaw.
Yeah. He wasn't a badass at all.
Yeah.
And that's I saw so many people that were like bullshitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one guy at the party at the embassy is like, well, my agency protocol, you're not in the CIA. And they're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. You could say anything when you're over there and people might believe it. What about when she first walks into this group home or whatever, reporter home, and she's like, are you fucking your detail? Because I'm going to fuck him. And can I fuck him? Can I have him?
Would you mind?
Do you mind if I take that dick? She's like, go ahead. I have a boyfriend at home. She's like, when your pussy's eating your leg.
She said that. You call me when your pussy's eating your leg. And it was just like, wow. And then, of course, her boyfriend cheats on her.
Yeah. Right. And then sees it.
On Skype.
But again, I heard about those stories over there. They would have these video phone and video chat rooms when you go over there as a comedian. And I remember one guy in a art guy was crying and screaming at his girl back home in Afghanistan, slams the phone down. I heard the same guy, the artillery guy, that told me about going to the village and meeting with the elders and the guy saying, you know, it's so much safer here since the Americans took over. He was like, because he was a sergeant, so he was in charge of a bunch of guys, and he was older, married with kids, and he was in charge of a bunch of young guys, 20-year-old dudes or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, man, if another guy gets a Dear John letter, you know, I got to take away his weapon. And then there's a stigma around that because there's a high suicide rate.
Oh, wow.
It's so stressful. And then you get some bad news from back home. Your girlfriend's cheating on you or whatever, and
Man.
You go crazy. And so Tina Fey went through that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I always, when I see these young guys, like, oh, I got to get married before I go to our house. Man,
why? Don't do that.
No.
My friend, she married, okay, we was in foster care, okay? I was in foster care. And my friend, she's a foster kid, and she just wanted a husband and stuff. And I'm like, cool, but don't marry nobody that's going to get took away. So, like, if you're going to get married, don't marry no dope dealers, and don't marry no dudes in the military, because we're in a war right now, so he's going to get took away. She didn't listen to me. We used to go down to San Diego on the weekends and just, like, call ourselves hooking up, getting with dudes with benefits, right? So, she hooked up with this dude and married him. Like, and he was only 22. She's 20. Like, don't marry this dude. You're not even drinking yet, right? She moves down to the base. He gets deployed, right? He's gone for a year. She's like, hey, she's working in the convenience store on the base. What you gonna do? All these fine ass Marines coming in. You gonna hit some of that, right? Yeah. So she hits it. She's too damn honest, because, you know, when you in the system, there's no, like, you need to, like, report, like, tell what's been going on in your life. So she tells her husband what she did with one of his fellow Marines. Ooh. This mug goes berserk. She said, I thought he was going to break the laptop. I really thought he was going to break the laptop or whatever. And so then when he comes back, he's ready to whoop her ass, right? Ready to beat her. She pregnant. By somebody else. Oh, wow. And that dude wasn't even a Marine she was pregnant by. She was pregnant by the weed man. So it was so stupid.
Oh, my
but,
God. This is a movie in and of itself.
Yes.
But this, no, I've heard these stories so much. This is so
common.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. So, it's so like, why after, don't, they shouldn't allow them to get married. Like, if you're.
So what happened after that? I'm like, so after that, I want to know the story.
So after that, she got divorced from him. He took his son. He took custody of his son. Left her with the other baby. She tried to stay with the dope dealer. The dope dealer abandoned her. She's by herself. Then she moved to Georgia. Ends up start dating a dude that worked at a grocery store. She start working at the grocery store. He fired her from the grocery store. Marries her. She got like three more kids. And only two of them are by the dude at the grocery store. The other one, we're not so sure about. So, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Five kids, three or four baby daddies. Crazy.
So watch the Carmichaels, you guys, on Sunday night.
For some life lessons.
Crazy in Atlanta. That's what she is. That's what she is. But I think the military, they shouldn't allow men to get married, or any of their soldiers to get married, till after they finish their thing or something.
Back, because it's just too hard. I mean, I know guys I knew that were older, that were married,
could handle it better.
They could handle it because they had a solid marriage going in, and they had some real conversations. Yeah, what the fuck are you doing getting married when you're 20?
Yeah,
they should be allowed. I don't care what your job is.
Even if you're not in the military.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't get married till after 25.
I think after.
I can't argue with that.
I would say after 30. Like, I would wait till you know who you really are. I got married after 30 and I still got divorced.
Right.
So it doesn't, like.
I got married right before 30 and I got divorced. But that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother Lifetime movie right there. That's a Lifetime movie. The Chronicles of She's Not Ready for This.
So now, is that in a bottle too? She ain't ready.
That's the monostat, the new monostat. She ain't ready. Yeast infection cream.
She's not ready.
She not ready. Get it together, girl.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I think we covered Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
We did indeed.
Yeah, we did. Every aspect of it.
Every aspect of it. Guys, we'd love to hear your comments. You know, go to the message boards or the Facebook page and let us know what you thought of this Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
So, Tiffany, now we can see you on The Carmichael Show on NBC.
Yes, you can see me on The Carmichael Show on NBC Sundays at 9. And also, you'll be able to see me in a movie. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll come back and talk about it with you guys. And you can tell me how bad it is or how good it is.
What's the film?
It's called Keanu. It's with Key and Peele, and it's coming out April 29th.
Those guys are so goddamn
funny. It's a comedy, so yeah.
Those guys are so funny. Oh my God, those guys are funny.
It's a comedy action flick about pussy.
Is that the poster?
Is that literally the
tagline? Yeah. The tagline on the poster. Comedy action movie about pussy. Yeah. Those two guys back to back with guns, and then you
and then there's a, and then there's cat. A cat.
Yeah.
All right, and where can people find you online?
Oh, you can follow my fan page on Facebook, Tiffany Haddish. Twitter is Tiffany Haddish. My Instagram is Tiffany Haddish. My Snapchat is Tiffany Haddish. And if you really want to talk to me face to face, you can get on my Tango. And that is The Last Black Unicorn 1.
Well, guys, yeah, definitely follow Tiffany.
I've never even heard of Tango before.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, my gosh. Tango is so dope. You could talk to people in jail from it if they got a phone with a camera.
Wow, that sounds great.
I have such a following of prisoners. And Italians hit me up on it all the time. Anybody that's into, like, unicorns and shit, they hit me up. Like, mm-hmm. I talk to people all the time. Like, my phone chimed off, like, 3 times. It vibrated in my lap since we've been doing it. So I'm sure it's child time is over in Alabama.
All right, so Tiffany Tango Foxtrot.
Shout out to everybody in lockdown listening to Comedy Film.
Yeah, they're listening. They got iTunes on their phones in there. There's Wi-Fi in jail. You'd be surprised.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Let us know what movies you get to watch.
They watch everything because they get the Soapbox, some app called Soapbox.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot.
And, you know, and we do ship to prisons.
Yeah, we ship to prisons. Yeah. If you can get a hold of a credit card somehow.
Shit, they got it. Don't get it twisted.
Okay.
They got it. They taking care of whole families in there, man. You'd be surprised.
All right.
You know, people do strange things for a cigarette. And they pay good money. It's like $10 for one cigarette.
Well, then you get a couple cigarettes, you could buy one of our t-shirts and we'll ship it.
Perfect.
What if they you have kind of one outfit you're typically wearing.
They have outfits and they have Jordans in there and all kind of stuff. They be dressed to death. You'd be surprised what's going on in these federal prisons, man.
What?
Oh, you would federal. Be surprised.
Yeah, that's different.
In regular prison.
Really?
Yes. You all would be surprised. Don't go, but no, I should tango somebody right now so you can see. They be like, hey, wait, hold up. I got to get the phone out my ass. That's real butt dialing right there. I'm like, why is it so dark?
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Watch Carmichael's, follow Tiffany Haddish. And I think that's it, man. I got, what do we got going on? I'm out in Lake Havasu next week, March 30th and 31st. April 7th, doing the Pop Divas podcast at 6 o'clock at the Improv Lab with Joe Wagner. And then I'm headlining Improv in Las Vegas April 19th through 24.
Very cool. So, and next week, I will be launching my Kickstarter for my graphic novel, Long Ago and Far Away.
Nice.
More info on that.
Is it going to be an audio version? Because I love listening to audiobooks.
No.
About fantasy.
Not for graphic novel.
Oh, okay. Then.
You should make one, though, Chris.
But yeah, I should make an audio.
Why not?
Yeah. You know what? It's not a bad idea.
I could do some of the voices.
I'd like to have you do some of the voices, actually.
Let's do this.
That'd be
really
cool.
Let's do this. Great. I just learned how to read. Yeah. So I just finished my Baby Can Read program. So let's do it. Oh, this is beautiful.
See? There
yes,
is.
I could be her with the big titties.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Hey, you guys, check me out in Elle Magazine, too. I'm going to be in a new edition about female comics.
All right.
So, yeah. Oh, cool. This is dope.
All right,
you got talent. So. You got to put a mole on the witch, and that's me.
Yeah.
I get on my knees in front of swords.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so big. You guys got to see this.
We'll be launching next week.
Long ago and far away. It'll be available on Kickstarter.
Get it, y'all. Get it. I'm gonna put $50 on it. Is that cool?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool.
Sweet.
You take EBT?
Yeah.
It even has bonus material. That's another $50 off my EBT. That's $100.
You guys use your EBTs for the Kickstarter. We'll take whatever we can get.
Oh, man, this is dope.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you, Tiffany Haddish, for being on it.
Thank you.
This has been Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Spoiler Ep 43. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.